This afternoon, we want to look at where we left off last week. And let's start at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. For above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. And Lord, as we look at your word, help us to understand that we do live in the last days. And we have to take advantage of the time that you have given to us and help us to be encouraged as we look at your word and realize that you have placed us where you want us to be at any given moment. Help us to take advantage of those opportunities. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The first portion of the scripture that we read out of chapter 4 this afternoon is what we looked at on Wednesday evening. And it talked about really how that we are to be as Christ and understand that Christ suffered, and he suffered even though he was righteous, and he endured the suffering on our behalf. And likewise, we are called to live our lives as he lived his life and be willing to endure the world and Satan coming against us. But Peter wants us to remind us, as we look at beginning at verse 7 this afternoon, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, if there's ever a day which we can begin to see that the end of all things is at hand, it's today. This morning's Sunday school class, I was talking about a number of the things that I've seen and heard in the news, many of which you will not see in the news in the U.S. Things that are happening in the Middle East right now are aligning themselves in such a manner that Ezekiel, the war that's where Russia, Turkey, Iran, and the Confederacies will come against Israel, could likely happen at any time. Things are becoming more and more intense over there, and we hear nothing about it. I was just mentioning to them this morning that Iran has been sending weapons to and their technology to Russia to help them fight in the war against Ukraine. Ukraine is asking Israel to help by sending their technology to them. And as you can see, if Israel would do that, there would be one more logical reason in Russia's mind why they should be able to attack Israel. Russia currently has troops in Syria. They're mounting more troops and weapons in that region of the world, saying it's on behalf of Iran. But we know that how Israel is desires to come against Iran because of the whole nuclear thing. And at the same time, Turkey just reelected the Muslim, I forget if he's a president or prime minister, who is very much pro-Iran, pro-Russia, and not so much pro-Israel. He's anti-Israel. And so we see that the events and are uniting in such a way that that war could occur at any time. And we, as living in the last days, and Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago, but he was still looking forward to the day in which we're living and those last days coming. God knew what he needed to tell us as we live in this time. Oftentimes, there's two things we can be. We can be discouraged, thinking, well, there's nothing I can do. We can say, well, God, why are you allowing these things to happen in my life where I'm enduring different means of suffering and maybe different suffering for no matter what our condition is or place is. But in our mind, we may view, I have no opportunities. How would God use me? But the Lord is telling us, wait a second, you're living in the last days. And you need to be realize what God has called you to do. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The first thing you need to be is sober. Sober-minded means to be clear-thinking. If you're sober, you're not distracted. If you're sober, your mind is clear. You understand what events are going on around you, and you can react properly to the situation. That is what being sober really means. As Christians, we need to be aware of what's going on around us and act accordingly to the situation. We need to realize that the day in which we live may not be that much longer before the final events of history kick into place. And if people have not received the Lord as their Savior, we know that the Bible tells us that during the tribulation, many people will die during the tribulation. Many people will be totally deceived during the tribulation, and very few will come to faith during the tribulation. And we are to, today is the day of salvation, and so we need to be sober-minded and realize the situation of the day in which we live. The whole world, as we saw this morning, even in the church, is being deceived by doctrines of demons. And the whole philosophy of the demonic is to keep people from knowing the truth. It's to teach and promote lies and present them as real, that people will be deceived and will not seek the truth. And as we see here, we're to be sober-minded and we're to pray. Where it says watch unto prayer, what does it mean? As we watch these events, the comment was made as we were at lunch today, sometimes I think that in given situations, all I can do is encourage people, share with people, and pray. And that's really, if you look at, sometimes I can't have access to the President of the United States. I don't have access really to even our own senators. You can call their office and talk to an aide, but you don't get to talk to the senator. And so how much influence can I have? But I can watch, see what events are happening, and pray. And I can pray that God would open understanding, open hearts, help those that are given responsibilities, proper choices, that they would make righteous choices. I can look and observe and see that God would bring people into people's lives that I observe that need to hear the gospel. And if I am one of those people, then that I'd be ready to share the gospel. So watch unto pray, be sober-minded as we approach the last days. Then he says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So what are we supposed to do in the last days? Are we supposed to complain? Are we supposed to be self-centered and look into ourselves and the world's revolving around me? No, I'm supposed to show love, and the love isn't based upon what I can get from you, but it's based upon what I can do for you. That is what the whole concept of charity that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about. And we are to have that kind of love. It's a love that Christ showed for us. He could gain nothing from us by coming to earth and dying on the cross. When he came, the world rejected him. Those that should have known who he was just wanted to use him to make him the king of Israel to overthrow the Roman government, but the vast majority of them didn't understand they needed to be delivered from their sins, not from their Roman oppressors. And today it's the same thing. We need to realize that it's not about what God can do for us, but it's rather what we can do for Him, and it begins in expressing His love and showing His love through us to others. And where does it begin? Within the church of Jesus Christ. And so within the church, within the body of Christ, there should be love one to another. And He says, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus came and expressed His love to us. It covered a multitude of sins. It covered all the sins in my life, in your life, and everyone who has accepted Jesus. Plus, Jesus said He came and died for the sins of the whole world. And it's great enough, His love is great enough to cover all the world's sins if they but would receive and call upon His name. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. It talks about the last days as people will be experiencing suffering. We are to open up our homes and lives to one another and meet needs as we have the ability to meet needs and to encourage one another. And part of that is through sharing and opening up our lives one to another, and that's through hospitality is one of the means by which we do it. Sometimes it's not in our character to do that. It doesn't come naturally. Some people have a gift in that area. But as we're called on Christians to be hospitable to one to another. Another portion of Scripture talks about that, even in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the fact that by those means of showing hospitality and a heart of service and of love, it says that some people have entertained angels unaware, and that God sends angels to be an encouragement to us. And as we open up our lives and share with these strangers who come, maybe have entertained an angel unaware. And he goes on and he says here, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oftentimes we feel discouraged because we think we don't have opportunity or we don't have a big enough area, we're not making a big enough influence. He doesn't say, only open up your gifts once I give you this giant stage from which to speak, or I give you all these people to minister to. He says, no, open up and use your gifts, he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. How do you minister a spiritual gift? To one person at a time. How are people saved? One person at a time. And a lot of times we get so, our world presses on us that if it's not big, it can't be good. It's got to be big. The bigger it is, the better it is. Oftentimes in the economy of God, if you look back in the Old Testament, how He dealt with Israel, how He dealt in the New Testament in various cases, even the ministry of Jesus on earth, He ministered. Yes, He ministered and fed the thousands. He ministered and spoke to the hundreds. But the thing is, His real ministry was one-on-one. He ministered and He healed people. He delivered people from the demonic. And it wasn't, okay, everybody who's got a demon, let's get together. We're going to have a deliverance service today. You're all delivered. No, He went to them and dealt with them one-on-one. The woman at the well, one-on-one confrontation when no one else would go to her. They're all avoiding her, and she was avoiding them. But Jesus went one-on-one. He set the example for us. We're to take opportunities when we have them, and most of the time, the greatest opportunity we have to make a difference in a person's life is a one-on-one confrontation where we can share and listen and hear and then share the good news one-on-one. And so he says, even as a man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so God has given us the grace to be able to do this. It's not something that we can do in and of ourselves, but He gives us the ability to do it because of His grace or unmerited favor that's been placed upon the life of the believer to be able to give us the ability to do something that doesn't come naturally. And yet He calls us to do it. And then Peter encourages us, even as the days grow closer to the last days. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, we're not supposed to be speaking with the things of this world, but we're to be speaking, presenting the oracles of God, the truth contained within God's Word. And that's what we're to be doing. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, and not in our own strength. A lot of times we see people that try to establish ministry or try to do things in their own abilities and their own strength. We've all probably, at least I have, been in a situation where you try to argue somebody into your position. In other words, you're going to try and argue them into the kingdom of heaven. I want to tell you, it'll never work. You cannot come up with enough good reasons to argue anybody to change their mind. But God can transform the heart and mind, bring conviction upon the person. And when you share the truth, His Spirit is the one that is convicting, not your great oratory. And there's some people that say, well, I'm not gifted when it comes to speaking. God doesn't say that we have to be gifted when it comes to speaking. He says that He will give us the words to say, and He will give us the words to say that will touch the heart and be used for that moment that He has called us and placed us to speak. And so we're to see here that these are to be relied upon as God and His grace, not our ability. And He goes on and He says here that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now, where does the glory really belong? And this is where Peter ends this little paragraph of this letter. He says, by focusing on where the real power, the real strength, the real ability comes from, it's the grace of God working through us, our walking in obedience to His leading, taking advantage of the opportunities that He places us in, we're not to heap the grace and glory upon ourselves, but rather it's to be given to God. Now, if we begin to live our lives and look at it that way, we're not going to be walking in self-centeredness and selfishness. One of the problems oftentimes that I can fall into is I look at my situation and I feel sorry for myself. And I go, well, I deserve better than this. You know, I've done this and this and this, and this has been the result. Well, I deserve better than that. Well, what am I doing? I'm not looking at what God has done and what God may be doing. I don't know what God is going to use out of circumstances and situations. He may place me in a position where it may not be to my immediate advantage when I look at it through human eyes, but it's to God's advantage because He's using a situation for His glory and ultimately my good, that I can be more Christ-like in my character. A number of years ago, I was in a situation when I was growing up. My dad had a first cousin, and she had a terminal disease, and she died at a fairly young age. And her youngest child was 12. He was the same age I was. So he was left without a mom, and his brothers and sisters were all quite a bit older than him. I believe his sister and one of his brothers had already left home. His other brother was quite senior in high school, something like that. And in the summer, my mom talked to his dad and said, well, why don't you have him come and stay with us for a while? And so he came to stay with us, and I did not treat him well at all. I became jealous of him. Because I thought, well, why I'm here? Why do my folks need to bring this guy in? You know, and my mom and dad would show him favor because they were trying to be an encouragement to him because he'd lost his mom, and they were trying to be an encouragement to him. And looking back, I think for everything that they did to encourage him, I was kind of a discouragement to him. I would say things that would be hurtful to him. I wouldn't really do the things that I should have done to encourage him. And I wasn't really a testimony to him at all, although I really didn't understand these verses at that time in my life. But I wasn't loving him, and I wasn't really caring for him, and I wasn't using that time to really be used of God to encourage him, not only emotionally and physically, but spiritually. Looking back, I feel really bad about it. There's nothing I can do about it. He's since passed away. He was, as I said, he was the same age as me, but he died fairly young from the same disease as his mom had. And the thing is, I had other chances to interact with him, but not really that much. Had I developed a relationship with him that summer, perhaps I could have had a much longer relationship with him and more opportunities to talk to him later on in life. But I just had a couple. And the thing is, we never know what the situation is. And we're not to focus on us, but we're to focus on, why did God put me here? Why is this situation here? He needed spiritual strength, he needed emotional strength, and he needed love. And I didn't give him anything except a bunch of grief. And the thing is, oftentimes, that's what happens when we focus on ourselves instead of what this verse says, of focusing on the situation that God placed us in and the gift that God has given to us for that specific opportunity. We are not to look for the grand stage, but rather we are to look for the, as we sang this morning, little is much when God is in it. And little is much. And are we looking at the little things, realizing that they're really the big things? And he who is faithful in little, God will entrust with much more. But if you're not faithful with the little, God can't entrust more to you because you'll abuse it. But if you're faithful, he will give you a reward, and that will be to bring more opportunity to be used by him. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand how to be sober-minded, how to watch unto prayer, how to seek to use the gifts that you have given to us. And Lord, oftentimes it's one person at a time. And Lord, help us to do this. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me to Channels Only, and it is Channels 541.